we're live. Hello, hello. Welcome to another wonderful episode of Nugs Country Wrestling Podcast. This is episode number 4. Today's guest will be none other than James Drake. I got my co-host on the line, as always, the one, the only, Big Country. How you doing, Big Country?
Hey, you know, I'm feeling a little rough right now, but, you know, I'm always ready for the Nugs Country Podcast. You know, we have fun every week, so I'm not going to let my physical disability right now get me down.
No doubt, no doubt. I appreciate you always being a professional here, brother. It makes a difference. And, man, it's great. It's great having you. Man, we got a great, great episode coming up with James Drake. Next week's episode is going to be Hall of Fame, WWE Hall of Famer, Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Really looking forward to that episode. We got a lot of great guests coming up here in the through the next month here. It's going to be wonderful. And so how was your weekend this weekend, Big Country?
Well, apparently not as productive as yours. I hear you do your job so well that you give old ladies cardiac arrest.
Yes, that's true. That's true. This episode is sponsored by the Damian Wayne Heart Attack Tour, coming to a town near you and then going to a hospital directly after the event. Yes, we had such a great event, got so much heat that the woman grabbed her chest and she was screaming, literally sitting in the chair shaking and still giving us the middle finger and talking about, if I have a heart attack, it's all your fault. And I gave her, and I talked shit to her until I walked all the way through the back door and was still talking shit.
You got to nail down that heat.
And, yes, sir. And she went to the hospital and she definitely had a heart attack, so. That's when you know you did your job right.
Damn
shit. And I've had people already hit me up talking about take down your post, take down your post. And I refuse to take down my post. I am not ashamed of what happened, nor am I about to say I'm sorry for anything that happened because I'm not sorry. And it is pro wrestling. And I think that big fat lady, I think she had too many buckets of chicken before she got there. And I don't think it had a lot to do with me, but I definitely think I'm the one that agitated it on, along with Damian Wayne. We had a phenomenal, phenomenal show up at Concord, North Carolina. So. Hopefully everything goes right. We're going to be in Raleigh, North Carolina this Saturday. It's going to be phenomenal. I'm looking forward to that as well to continue on the Heart Attack Tour.
Yeah, this weekend I will be doing my thing, defending my Southern States title at SWA at the Forest City National Guard Armory. And my opponent for this Saturday will be none other than our guest for tonight, the New Age Enforcer, James Drake. Anybody that remembers, last time me and him wrestled, he broke my rib 2 minutes of the match, and we still had to wrestle for another 10 minutes. So if that's any indication on how rough this is going to be, I think it's going to be twice as rough.
That's rough. That's rough, brother. But that's showing that you are the consummate professional. No matter what, the show must go on, and you finish the match. I mean, that's how wrestling is. I mean, you don't tell them, "Oops, I'm hurt. Let's go." No, you're a fighter. That's what fighters do. That's
exactly. I know we're all out there. You know, this ain't ballet. This isn't, you know, theater like everybody thinks it is. You know, you got to sit there and you got to think to yourself, look, am I too hurt to go on? Or, you know, I mean, it's different if you got like a broke leg or, you know, your eyeball's hanging out of the socket or something. You know, hey, I had a broke rib. I got, you know what, like 23 other ribs. So yeah, it's like,
right.
You know, as long as I can get up and still do stuff, you know, I'm going to entertain.
Right. The show goes on. That's what you got to do. That's what you got to do. I'll tell you, these day and age, when it comes to getting bookings, if you can get a good book and don't let it go, hold on to that bad boy. That's what I say.
Oh, well, definitely. Now, I want to go. I know we usually start these podcasts off with rants. I want to rant for a second. Let me tell you.
Go for it, brother.
You buy a ticket to a wrestling show, you're a fan. You can say what you want, do what you want. As long as you don't put your hands on the wrestlers across that line, you know, more power to you. But the thing that pisses me off is fans that come to show with their kids, they let their kid do whatever they want to, run around like it's a freaking daycare, you know, doing stuff, throwing stuff. And then when the time comes time for us to come out that curtain to do our job, before a word ever comes out of my mouth, I got little 7, 8, 9, 10-year-olds run up to me, calling me a fat ass, calling me a fag, you know, and, you know, saying all types of godly stuff probably they've heard their parents say to each other every night before they go to bed. Well, you know, when I look down at a kid and I tell him that he's adopted or his parents hate him or if you don't sit down, I'm going to smack him in the mouth. Then you got these parents that hear that, and what do? They get on Facebook, they piss, they moan. They want to sit there and whine to the promoters about, if you don't get your wrestlers under control, then we're not coming back to the show. Tell you what, why don't you get your little shitty kid under control and tell him to watch his mouth? And, you know, if I got a little 9-year-old coming up calling me a fat ass, yeah, I'm going to smack him in the mouth. I'm going to do what his parents should have, you know? That just pisses me off because you can't control your kid. But when it comes down to, I might have said something a little bit too rough to him, then, my kid didn't say nothing to provoke him. He just came out of nowhere and said it. That just really, really pisses me off. I don't know about you.
No, that pisses me off. I had a this weekend when I was in Concord when we had a big melee at the end, you know, and we beat down the hometown hero, and you know, and the opening promo, I made it really, really, really personal, you know. I told everyone during the promo, I told the wrestler, I said, you know why I hate you so much? I said, because you say you're a people's champion and you represent these people. I said, so tonight when Damian Wayne punches you, he's going to be punching that little fat kid with the orange shirt on. He's going to be punching that woman with a bad wig. He's going to be punching that fat woman with her ugly hairdo. And that fat woman's the one that had a heart attack, you know? So at the end of the wrestling event, everything spilled out to the floor. There's a baby bassinet sitting on the front row. I said, move the kid. And the guy gets upset. He goes, it's not a kid, it's a baby. I said, I don't give a damn what color you want to put on it. Get the kid out of the way before he gets stepped on. What kind of redneck are you that leaves a baby in a front row sitting on the floor? There ain't no
what
security
kind of father
there.
Are you?
Yeah. We're at the Moose Lodge. Come on.
I mean, if you're going to bring an infant in there, I'm not anybody to say, you know, don't bring your baby up there, but you know, you have a responsibility as a parent to take that baby and keep it as far away from danger as possible. I mean, we're consummate professionals, but sometimes stuff happens. You might hit that guardrail goes back, smacks that bassinet, the baby falls out, and guess what? DSS is taking your kid away because you're a freaking idiot.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Just, I mean, come on. I mean, also, I've been to shows before where parents would literally drop off their baby kids and let them run around, and they act like it's wrestling staff and the security staff to babysit your child while you want to go out and party or do whatever you want to do. Sorry, I'm not going to sit there and babysit your children. It ain't my job. I mean,
yeah,
I remember one time. I put on a show.
Yeah, I remember one time we had to do a run-in. Boom, I go out through the curtain, taking off towards the ring. What happens? A little kid passes through the aisleway. Boom, I hit him. He falls down. But I still got a job to do. I turn around, make sure the kid's all right. I take off towards the ring. After the show, I got a one-on-one to sit there and call the cops on me because I assaulted a kid. Tell you what, how about I call DSS because you're a freaking idiot. You don't know how to watch your kid, so you don't deserve your kid.
Right. You put your child in harm's way. I mean, you have common sense. You see a music hit and a big guy's running. Here's it. Grab your kid and get out of the way.
Oh, no, she's probably too busy trying to find her next baby's daddy.
That's the worst thing. You'll be at the wrestling event, and the parents bring the kids because they know the kids likes wrestling. But the parent has no liking whatsoever and won't even try to act like that they're having a good time, even for the kid's sake, because this is a friendly event, you know, a family-friendly event you brought your child to. You're not even – you're sitting down looking at your cell phone, texting your Twitter. And I'm like, and I've literally cut promos before and yelled and talked trash. I say, stupid, over there texting Twitter. Tell yourself you're an idiot not paying attention to your child. And fans will sit around, and it takes at least 30 seconds for them to look up and realize that I'm the one calling them a clown. And they're
yeah, the best thing I love. you got these parents who let their little daughters come in there dressing like hookers. Oh, I love attacking them. I'll be like, hey, little girl, who are your parents? And she'll point to them, and I'll give them right. You let your kid come out the house dressed like that? I said, really? So what kind of parents are you? I said, I should call DSS right now and report you because you don't know how to let your, you know, dress your kids. I mean, and especially the, you know, kids on cell phones. Like, hey, you want to go to a place just to hang out? Go to the skating rink. This is a wrestling rink.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, where is your parental? I mean, you show up. I know you're there to have a good time, but you still, your children are with you. You're responsible for your own children at this point. Well, come on. It's freaking ridiculous.
That's what I'm saying, though. But like I said, you know, back to the original thing is, you know, if you're going to sit there and let your kids spout little, you know, crap, we're heels for a reason. We got a job to do, you know. We're going to go out there and do it, and you're going to sit there and tell the promoter on us? Quit being a snitch. How about here's what you do? How about if you don't want your kid to get something said to him, you take him and you sit him on your lap, put your hand over his mouth, and don't let him speak, you know? I mean, it's obvious he's getting it from somewhere. If he's saying stuff like that, calling people fat ass and gay and stuff like that, you know, he's obviously getting it from his parents or his friends or something like that. But I'll tell you what, I don't care if you're 7, 8, 9, 10. You want to call me a fat ass or call me a faggot, I'm going to tell you, you're adopted and your parents hate you.
Exactly.
Plain and simple. Don't sit there and yell at the promoter about, oh, my kid didn't do nothing. No, your kid's a little heathen, and he got, you know, told. So, you know, you don't want him to get told. Give him some home training.
Right. Obviously, your child is here, and he thinks that it's all right just to say what he wants to say. Why? Because he's at a wrestling event? Come on. Then don't get upset if I yell something back at your child.
Exactly. It's like getting pissed off if you jump over the guardrail trying to get in the ring and I kick your freaking head off.
Right. Whose fault was that? You set yourself up. You came over what we call no man's land, and once you come over there, guess what? All bets are off, and, hey, you're going to get what you get at that point. I'm protecting myself. And I've seen it before.
Exactly.
Seen
just
it.
Like, oh, well, yeah, I've done it before.
Oh, I remember being with Timber at the 4th of July at Rockingham Speedway for Rusty the Ref show, Rusty Young. And then those guys, it was at the drag strip. So people were there, not only been there from 9 o'clock in the morning drinking Budweiser's and whatever, you know, they got liquid courage. They're not necessarily there to watch a wrestling event. That's just something they threw in amongst the drag strip. So we went out there during the main event, you know, and they said soon as we're done and they're gonna hit the lights and the fireworks and it's over. So we had to make sure there was heat. And one of those guys got courage, crawled up over the 8-foot chain link fence, came up to the ringside and challenged Timber. And Timber is right handed and Timber hit him with the left hand, knocked him off the side apron down onto the ground. The guy grabbed tucked his tail, went back up over the wall. And I said, you about done being a tough guy? And then they realized that wrestling is sometimes real. Okay, we got on the line. I do believe we do have a guest on the line. Is this James Drake?
It is.
How are you tonight, sir?
I've been better. How about yourself?
I'm doing terrific. I gave myself and Damian Wayne, I don't know if you read on my Facebook, we gave a fat lady a heart attack in Concord, North Carolina this weekend.
I didn't have to hear it on Facebook. George South done well enough telling the story.
George South is telling my story. I am honored that George South's telling the story.
That's good. It was good stuff. He said he didn't know whether it was you guys getting so much heat that gave her the heart attack or the show being so horrible that she faked a heart attack just to get out of there.
Oh, jeez. Wait, babe. Yeah. I can't speak of the whole match. I know the main event was good. I can't speak of the rest of the event. But
anything Damian Wayne's in was good. And, I mean, you draw enough heat for everybody, so it's okay.
We had great heat. Oh, yeah.
I had a brand new
jacket was on.
What do you expect?
I had that rattleskin snake skin jacket on, the same one that was sent to me by Falcone and Stacey Adams. It's the one that George Thorogood wore in the Bad to the Bone video. So
I was bad
to the bone and made him get a heart attack. So, James, let's talk about pro wrestling, my friend.
All right, let's talk about it.
Okay, first off, well, let's start from the beginning. What got you into pro wrestling?
Probably the same thing that got every other person into it. I started watching it about 4 or 5 years old and was just amazed. Loved the sport. That and baseball were my two loves. And every time it came on, I had to watch. But I mean, I was your typical young Southern wrestling fan. It was Hulk Hogan, Brutus the Barber, Beefcake, Macho Man, Coco Beware, anybody that was flashy, that's who caught my attention. And then as I started to understand wrestling, I started watching guys like Arn and Muda and Tully, and they started really showing me what wrestling was about. It wasn't about winning and losing. It was about putting on the best show that one could put on. And I mean, I learned it at a young age, 13, 14 years old. I had stopped caring about who won and lost. I cared about who put on the best show.
That's what I'm talking about. So, who trained you? How did you get your start?
Well, Josh Steinborn stayed on my hind end throughout school. And I went to school with him. We went to high school together. He done everything he could to get me in the business then. But I wouldn't get started. But finally, when I got out of school, he took me to a ring in Rex Rumble's backyard, showed me how to bump, which I already knew how to do, and showed me a couple of the small things, and I started training there. And after about a month of training, well, bumping and learning a spot or two, I had my first match against David Driver, against Wicked. And went in and had a very good match, even covered up a couple of spots that went awry and got in the back. And he asked me, he said, "Where did you learn that?" I said, "It was just common sense. You know, it didn't go the way that we had planned for it to go. I stayed with you and we went back to where we was at." He looked at me and said, "How long have you been working?" I said, "That was my first match." He said, "Do what? That was your what?" I said, "Yeah, that was my first match." He says, "Well, kid, we're opening up a training school in Forest City. I want you to start training with us. I want you to start coming up to Hendersonville and working shows for Southern Wrestling Association. And, I mean, I want you to be a part of our stuff." So he took me under his wing, and from there on, he just, every week, twice a week, him and Will Snap beat my ass.
So Will Snap was one of your trainers?
I give all the credit. Oh, yeah. Give all the credit in the world to Will Snap and David Reimer. They beat my ass. And they also taught me locker room etiquette and things like that. So they taught me how to be more than just somebody that can perform a move here or there. They taught me how to be a professional.
Yes, I could definitely see that. Now, I don't know David Reimer that much. I've talked to him a few times, always seemed very professional. But I used to manage Will Snap, and I mean, you couldn't have been taught by someone better than Will Snap. That man is phenomenal. He is one of those. He's a down to earth type of guy, but he's a no nonsense. You can't bullshit that guy. He's going to tell you the straight
absolutely.
Truth how it is.
Absolutely, he will. 110%.
Okay, so you started. So you were pretty much thrown right into it after you learned the business. You were thrown right into it the first year.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I didn't have a chance to train for a year, so I trained a month. And then we're starting right from the frying pan into the fire.
Wow. So how many years have you been wrestling now?
13.
13 years.
13
wow.
Long, aggravating, hard, rough years.
So 13 years. I know you work at SWA. What other companies do you work at?
On the regular, I work at Flatline Pro Wrestling out of Augusta. I'm going to start working for Why We Wrestle out of Cornelia. It used to be the old Anarchy.
Okay.
Let's see. I've started going up to NEW in Rhonda, North Carolina on occasion. And I've worked for PWX sparingly. I've worked two of their pure shows and hoping to get on some of the shows that are coming up in the very near future. see. There's so many to name, but I mean, the main companies I work for right now are SWA and Flatline Pro Wrestling in Augusta, and I work for UIW in Chesney when I've got a free weekend. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that sounds good. That sounds really good. Big Country, you with us, brother?
I'm still here with you, man.
Okay, now I know Big Country has a big wrestling event coming up against you, a big match.
Yeah,
You guys want to talk about that match at all?
No, I don't feel like carrying him again.
he's still crying about me throwing powder in his friggin' eyes.
No, I'm crying about you not knowing how to bump and breaking your freaking rib in the first 3 minutes of the match.
No, I'm crying because you think it's a good idea for guys, two guys with big ass guts, to do a freaking cross body spot. That's what I'm crying about.
Did it get over?
Yeah, it got over and through my freaking rib.
Well, burn them up.
But I didn't quit. I didn't roll out of the ring and run my ass to the back. I sat there for another 10 minutes.
I wasn't going to let you.
400 pounds, bro. If I wanted to get out of that ring and run to the back, I believe I could have.
I believe if I kick you in the knee while you're carrying that 400 pounds, there will be a crater in the cement floor at the Four City Armory.
I believe if I punch you in the dick, you'd cry like a bitch.
If you can hit it, you've got great aim.
I'm a sharpshooter, brother.
Okay, we are definitely rated R on here, so we can get away with pretty much anything we want to do. Talking about shots, so we're doing good.
I mean, this is our podcast, man. I'm going to shoot straight from the hip. James has been a guy who I've looked up to for a long time, not only because, you know, the guy's phenomenal in the ring, and if anybody has ever, you know, seen, if you haven't lived under a friggin' rock. But, you know, James is not what everybody thinks this typical wrestler is supposed to. I mean, really, who came up with what a typical wrestler is supposed to look like in the Indies? Whoever it is, you know, kill yourself. But, you know, if you look at James, you know, you're like, probably going to have to look at Facebook through most of this match. But within the first 30 seconds, the guy's got your attention. And then, you know, the crap that he does in that ring is just, you know, you wouldn't expect it because everybody's been spoon-fed this bullshit of, you know, what you're supposed to look like and how you're supposed to do things and everything. And he breaks the mold on that. And, you know, he wows the crowd. He can keep up. I would put him up against anybody in PWX or Ring of Honor, and, you know, you throw him in there with anybody, and he's going to have a phenomenal match. And I just hate the fact that it took 9 years for us to be able to get to work each other, you know, and I hate the fact that, you know, within the first 2 minutes of the match, I did break a rib. That is legit. That's not bullshit or storyline. But I wish that, you know, I was 100% so I could have given more to the match than what I was able to, and, you know, I felt like I shortchanged him because, you know, he was limited to what he could do with me because of me getting injured. But, you know, anybody...
You didn't shortchange me at all. There's no way... How was I limited in what I was able to do with you because you broke your rib? We hit every spot that we called. We hit everything that we had discussed. I mean, you took a swinging neck breaker, for God's sake. A 425-pound swinging neck breaker with a broke rib is not pleasant.
Well, I know that, but it's just anybody that's ever been to an SWA show, you know, when you've been in there with, like, Touch Show, when you've been in there with Killjoy, you know, they expect, you know, that your opponents to be able to, you know, I don't know, maybe it's just me, maybe because, you know, I'm my own worst critic, but I feel that, you know, maybe the match had to be dumbed down because of my limitations, because of my size.
No, the first spot of the match was a suicide dive to the floor. I don't think that's dumbed down at all.
Yeah, and he beat, I mean, anybody that was there, he beat the shit on me out there. I felt like I was a kid that had broke a lamp and waiting for his daddy to come home and whoop his ass.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry.
I think he might have been a little excited.
Greg Valentine said it best. You might not believe that professional wrestling is real, but by God, you'll believe I am.
Oh, most definitely. Right. I live by that. You know, that's why people ask me why, you know, why I try to do, why I throw super kicks, why I throw drop kicks, why, you know, I try to move around in that ring as fast as I can because, you know, I don't want people to think that just because I'm, you know, a man of my size that all I'm going to do is run around the ring and club on people and breathe real heavy and throw up on people.
Right. Well, I mean, there's a time and a place for everything too. But at the size that you are and the perception that people have, you've got it easy. Sometimes I really wish that I was a lot bigger than I am, or that I was a lot more muscular than I am. If I was toned up and muscular, I'd be getting a lot better bookings than having to go around the indie scene around here and get the lower profile bookings. But if I was 400 pounds and could do it and could do some of the stuff that you do, I'd be making money too. Because, I mean, yeah, I would just save it, and then when there's a blow-off match, big match, I would hit all the good stuff, and then that's what they're going to remember. I mean, how many? You're not going to see anybody over 400 pounds hit a drop kick. I mean, I'm not saying that it's a Starman drop kick where you jump up, hit them in the chest, cut a backflip off of them, or it's not a Moose drop kick where you get up over their head and hit them. So 400 pounds that can put both feet in a man's chest does a pretty good job.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but see, nobody wants to even see past that. All people look at is the perception, you know. It goes back to the thing, the whole million-dollar body, 10-cent talent. It's like, oh, they have
well,
the
let's
look.
Be
we
honest.
Teach
let's,
how
be honest, the, let's be honest. The big companies have programmed everyone to what pro wrestlers are supposed to look like. In our era, wrestlers didn't even get in their primes until their mid-30s, beginning of the 40s. They were the vets then, the ones that could carry the show. Now the vets are, what, 25 years old? I mean, they're looking for someone so young that they can have longevity at 18 years old. At 18
well, you
years
got guys
old, you
that have
don't
been
know
in the
nothing
business
about wrestling.
Yeah, you got guys that have been in the business for like 3 years calling themselves vets and trying to train people and stuff. Ric Flair said it best. You know, everybody thinks that they've learned everything they need to learn and that they're freaking superstars. Ric Flair said he's the greenest he's ever been. He could always learn more. You know? You're never going to master the business of professional wrestling.
No,
there's always going to be
not
something
not
else
ever.
For you to learn. You know, unless you've wrestled every single style, learned every single style, still, you're still going to have something else to learn.
Right. Yep. I agree 100%. So
I mean, you know, everybody remembers wrestling started out in a carnival. You know, and what do people go to carnivals to do? Be entertained. See a wide variety of different acts, a wide variety of different people. You know, but now it's like everybody has to be a little cookie cutter wrestler, and everybody has to have six pack abs, and you know, it's not even really wrestling anymore. It's freaking acrobatics.
It depends on where you go, there, right. But I understand what you're saying.
Well, yeah, I mean, but you know, most of the unless you're ultimately trying to kill you and the other guy in the ring, most of these people are numb to just you know traditional style wrestling.
You're
you know?
Correct.
There's stupid stuff that if you're not almost dying in that ring, then they ain't gonna leave their seat or put two hands together.
Right, right. One of the best crowds that I've worked in front of recently has been the PWX crowd, especially the one in Charlotte. The PWX crowd in Charlotte is rabid. They love wrestling. They love professional wrestling of any kind. And I mean, the last show that I went to, which was this past Sunday, they had a little bit of everything. They had traditional wrestling with Gunner and Moose. Well, as traditional as you can get with Moose in there, because he's still gonna do some stuff that 300-pound guys who 6'8" shouldn't be doing. And you had Cedric Alexander and Michael Elgin, who probably put on the absolute best wrestling match I've ever seen live in my entire life. But by the end of it, you had fans in the crowd yelling, "Get the gun," because they have already hit everything on demand. So they react for almost everything, any style of wrestling. And the crowd in Forest City is the same way. They appreciate any kind of performance that we put on there, whether it's comedy, whether it's just straight up old school traditional wrestling, or whether it's the new school stuff you see on television, the Ring of Honor style matches. They really appreciate everything that's done up there.
I agree 100%. That's one thing you can find in the Carolinas, especially in North Carolina. You can find so many diverse different wrestling styles. So, I mean, if you're going to be a pro wrestler these days, you better be
kind of be able to go in all there be a chameleon in all different directions, from strong style to the old school stuff. Be able to mix some Japanese stuff, some high flying stuff.
Absolutely.
You got to be able to be a chameleon in all different directions.
Not to mention, you better know how to shoot if you have to.
You got that right, because they got so many people out here that want to take advantage, especially if you're a young wrestler, a young green wrestler. They want to try to. The term is stiff you, and if you don't straighten out, then you get stretched. And
yep.
Yeah, and that's not a good thing to happen.
It happened to me.
Yeah, it happened to you.
Oh God, yeah. Yeah, I was about 3 or 4 months in, and I was wrestling a show in Columbus, North Carolina. Wicked had took me up there, and he brought me up there as Mack Truck Show, and he got me a spot. And I was in a tag match. It was me and Darren Fate against Bad Medicine, Doc Feelgood, and Mike Payne.
Okay.
Mike Payne hits me with a body slam all the way across the ring. I'm laying in the corner almost, and says, "Stick." I thought he said, "Up." So I fed up and fed to him. He climbs up in the corner, and he was going to drop an elbow on me. Well, instead, he jumps off and hits me with a forearm and said, "I said stick," and throws me in the corner. And that was where I wanted to get the hell out of the ring.
Wow.
Because he started chopping me and punching me in the forehead and the eyeball and everything else. And then Doc Feelgood got in. And if you've ever seen Doc Feelgood, he's about 325, 350 pounds of human being. He doesn't look like much. I mean, he looks like a big man, but he looks like somebody that's not going to do anything but just waylay on you with heavy clubs or anything like that. Well, middle of the match, he says, "Fire on me, feet out, take a super kick." I'm thinking, there ain't no way in hell this big son of a gun's going to get his leg up that high. Well, when I turned around, I ate my teeth.
Mm.
He hit me with a super kick dead in the mouth. They beat my ass for the next 15 minutes. I'm talking just beat my ass. There was no being light at that point. By the time I got in the back, I felt like I'd been in a gang fight. And then they came up to me and said, "Do you know what that was for?" I said, "No." He said, "Well, when I say stick, it means stick." I was like, "Oh." So I just toted an ass with him. But I bet money when I told the stick, I stuck for the rest of my career.
I bet you definitely did, but they should have known that you were somewhat green still in the business. They took advantage of you. That was some bullshit. I mean, there should have been other ways.
I don't think they took advantage of me. Honestly, looking back on it, taking advantage of me would have been calling something and then going out and doing something completely different. I mean, after that match, they actually were on a lot more shows that I was on. And they started watching my matches, giving me critiques, taking me under their wing, teaching me this, teaching me that, teaching me psychology. And the next time that we worked, the two lightest people I've ever worked in my life.
Mm. Okay. Well,
so I feel like,
maybe they
I
were
feel
just...
like there's a difference.
Okay, well, definitely there was a difference then. Okay, well, they were tuning you up, so to speak.
Right. Oh, now that they was doing. I just feel like they were teaching a lesson, old school style. Now, I have been in the ring with somebody who, like I said, they'll call one thing, and when I get out there, they just change it completely up and start getting stiff. Now, that don't fly too well. That don't fly at all. The last time that happened, I punched somebody in the mouth and slid out of the ring, took a count out, and I didn't do it in front of the fans, but when they got in the back, there was an altercation.
Yeah.
I refused to do it in front of the fans. I just won't do it. They didn't pay to see two people. They didn't pay to see two people go in there and really get into a fist fight and expose the business that way. They paid to see a show. And if there's not going to be a show, then I'm going to get out of there and we'll take care of it in the back behind closed doors the way it's supposed to.
Yeah.
Well, that all just goes for, you know, people that don't teach people the right way to do things. You know, like you said, you know, getting a little bit of rough in the ring, you know, it teaches people, it molds them, it makes them tough. It's just like you got guys that, you know, teach these kids the worker's handshake. They don't realize, they tell them, "Oh, it's a sign of respect." No, when you shake somebody's hand, that's supposed to be how light or how stiff you work. If you got a little kid that's walking up to some dude in the ring and he's giving him a little light handshake, then he gets in the ring and the first punch he throws is stiff as shit, that guy's going to think he's shooting on him. So what is he going to do? He's going to shoot on him before he does him again, and boom. You know, you got kids getting hurt because they're not being taught the right way. Many, 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 many schools that I've seen guys talk about they get trained with, they, you know, teach them how to, you know, bump, how to take a, you know, a clothesline, and I take a suplex or a body slam, give them a pair of boots and stick them in their show because it's free labor. Well, what do? Mm-hmm. They get a little bit of matches under their belt, but they still don't know wrestling etiquette like James was saying. They go into other people's locker room, disrespect, and that's when they get hurt, and they get seriously hurt, and that's when they want to quit the business because, you know, they weren't trained the right way to begin with.
Right. So they didn't even know that they even – yes, they didn't even know that they were doing anything wrong to begin with because they were just ignorant to the fact.
Yeah. Right. And, see, I started doing the worker handshake. I mean, I was a victim of it. But when I got told what it was for – they say however light you shake someone's hands, how light you're supposed to work. Well, I started just giving a normal shoot handshake because I knew that I was going to be tight. I was going to hit you at least once or twice during the match. So I went ahead and bought myself a little insurance.
Well, see, there you go. There's a difference between stiff and tight. You know, I like knowing what I'm selling. I like knowing that, you know, especially if somebody comes up from behind me and hits me in the back. If they hit me in the back like, you know, I got hit with a pillow, I ain't selling shit because I'm not going to feel it. You know, so it's stiff is, I believe, is, you know, when somebody pisses you off or they do something stupid and you got to, you know, wake them up and teach them something. Tight
I don't think
is,
you have any problem selling anything I do to you.
Hell no, I don't. Shit. Damn. How do I no sell a concussion? Come on. No.
Fair enough.
But no, I mean, dude, seriously, the way you work is awesome. Your back fist hurts like a motherfucker. But I mean,
<Beat a hand. laughs>
hey, at least I didn't go down like a sack of bricks like somebody, you know, when we worked that 3-way.
Oh, yeah.
I don't beat a hand. That's the whole thing.
I'll throw a knife. I'll knock Damian Legion the hell out.
Dude, he did. I'm selling in the corner like, damn, that hurt. I'm glad I didn't have to take it. But no, see, I hate feeding the hand on stuff because, you know, people are becoming so smart nowadays that they see that stuff. They see the hand being thrown. It's like, oh, he didn't really hit him. No, I mean, I'd rather take a knock on the cheek or something. And, you know, yeah, it's going to hurt a little bit more. But, you know, everybody's going to realize, hey, he really just did hit that guy.
Right. Well, I was worried about feeding the hand, too. But then I went to Tang Sudo class, and I saw a kick coming from a guy much smaller than me, and I tried to put a hand up to stop it, and guess what? I still got
the hand smack you in the face.
hand, shin, foot, everything caught me right in the jaw. So you can feed a hand all you want to. It ain't going to stop.
Well, that's like when I used to take chair shots to the head. Everybody's like, oh, feed a hand. Hell no. First time I fed a hand, that hurt like hell. It hurt my hand worse than it did my head, so I just started taking them until people were dumb and didn't know how to give them, and that's when I started getting concussions.
Right. Absolutely. If I don't know you, I'm feeding a hand. I don't care. You can break it.
No,
you
if I don't know you, you ain't hitting me in the head with a chair. You hit me in the back all day long, but not in the head.
Good enough. I'm going to hit Nugs in the head with a chair next time I see him just for fun.
Yeah, dude, I've got hit in the chairs. I've been put on lit on fire before. I was lit on fire before, and they didn't even tell me they were going to light me on fire. Yeah, it was.
And I think brand
new red Stacy Adams dress suit, first time wearing it, felt like $1 million. I go out there, it's a hardcore match, you know. Basically, I figured a hardcore match. I'm playing a cheerleader, you know. Bam, bam, you know. Oh my God, what are you doing? Guy comes over, throws lighter fluid on me, and lights my sleeve on fire. I'm like, nice, dumbass. So that's when I finished the match, and in the back he came through the curb. He was like, man, that was awesome, and I punched him in the fucking mouth. Yeah, awesome, dude. From now on,
yeah,
I mean, if I know about it, then it's a spot. If I don't, hey, it's a shoot, pal. Nobody told you to light me on the fucking fire. Yeah, and I'm in the mountains in North Carolina, and you know I'm not getting paid because they're going to come up with some kind of story. They didn't draw any money. So
the gate was down, brother.
Gate was down. 225 people. We expected 230.
Yeah, so we're not going to be able to give you anything, and you're not even going to get a sloppy burger on the way home.
Here's No. How about this one? Well, we got a name coming in next week, so if you don't need the money.
Wow. Oh, yeah, that was the best of all the best.
Screw that noise.
That's the famous Doug Hawkins line when I was one of the few times I did. I don't care. I'll talk. I don't care. I'll tell the truth. They brought me into APW Chester, and they have this thing. I don't know if you ever worked there when you did it. Instead of, like most promoters, look over, slide you an envelope or maybe have some cash, and just if they got something, slide it to you on the download, because some workers just ain't getting paid, you know? So,
right. But
he has this thing. He wants to line everybody up, brings everybody out, and he made big an announcement. Oh, I got the Barbarian coming in next week. He goes, I got a little something for you in the envelope here. He goes, if you need it, I'll give you something, but if not, I sure do appreciate it. And I'm the only one that came over and put my hand out. And he gave me an envelope. Now, this guy was supposed to pay me the week before, and he didn't pay me. He come up with excuses and, oh, my God, I was updating the website and realized I forgot to pay you. If you come and do the show next week, I'll pay you double. So I figure he pulls the envelope from the bottom. I'm figuring, yeah, he's going to got me my pay from last week and this week, too. I get out there, open it up. It's $5.
Holla, Marty.
$5. I remember Zach Salvation didn't take the envelope. I said, Zach, why didn't you get an envelope? He said, he goes, they're like a family to me down there. He goes, I've been down there so long. He goes, maybe I should have took the envelope. I said, dude, I want to say business, but you always take the envelope because you never guarantee your next payday. I said,
absolutely.
So you better get the envelope when you get it. Yeah, I said, if that's
absolutely
family,
take
I don't
care
need family.
Take
hey, we
care
got a call calling
one
in here. We got a call calling in here.
Lord.
423
hey.
Area code. You on the line, caller?
Oh, hi. This is Dustin from Tennessee, and I was just wondering if anybody ever had a woman or a man, anybody ever had a fan have a heart attack during the show, and what do you think of Strong Style? You know?
Well, I myself have had a fan have a heart attack, and as far as I know, they're still kicking. They haven't seen the maker
Nugs
yet.
Nugs took his shirt off the last show he was at and caused a heart attack from a 97-year-old woman.
Hey, don't be telling them the trade secrets now of the business. But
it was the bloody nipple.
I myself, what do I think of Strong Style? It's not my forte. I don't believe in hitting someone 12 times, no selling something. The other guy hits him one time and he goes down. It's not really believable to me, but people love Strong Style, so each his own. I mean, I'm more of an old school.
It sounds like Hulk Hogan when he does his comeback.
It's close.
Well, the Hulk and Up thing was a little bit different.
Hulk Hogan's deal is all show. Now, Strong Style in Japan, New Japan, that's just, to me, that's the epitome of Strong Style. So, I mean, if you watch it and you watch All Japan, you'll see a big difference. All Japan is closer to what you'd see in America. It's closer to traditional style wrestling. But in New Japan, to me, they look like shoots. They always look like shoots. And I really enjoy it, because it brought a realism back to wrestling when I was watching Japanese wrestling, when I was watching New Japan and things of that nature. So, I mean, I really like it. I thoroughly enjoy it.
Well, I mean, you look at the Japan style, and it's just very stiff wrestling. You know, it's a lot different than, you know, if you're standing on the top rope and you give a guy a German suplex, and the guy you just German suplex gets up before you do and is trying to hit you with a roaring elbow. I mean, that's, you know, you could suspend belief in wrestling a certain amount, but stuff like that, you know, it's like, you know, that's the type of stuff that, it, you know, makes it hard to believe.
some of it. You're right. I mean, some of the sales, some of the no sales and things like that, I understand where people can get a little upset at it. But, I mean, it's no different than somebody taking a backflip rock bottom from the top rope and kicking out at two.
Oh, that's true. Or, that's you true. Know, you spend the whole match hitting people with finishers, and then you finish the match with a roll-up.
Yeah, a clean roll-up. Now, if you roll them up and hook the tights, it's something completely different.
Well, I don't know if you know about this, but AJ Styles and I think some other Japanese wrestlers are coming to WWE. Do you think they'll be used correctly, or will this be Vince Carter?
Well, technically they're going to NXT, but, I mean, you know, it's you know, like Kevin AJ's Owens.
Pretty old.
They didn't water Kevin Owens down. They just wouldn't let him use his package file driver. They still let him be a douchebag. And he still hits all his other spots that he used to. So, you know, I think it'd be a lot better to tone him down because you get a little bit more longevity out of the wrestlers than you do when the guys are on the indies and they're doing everything they can to get into the, you know, into the WWE. AJ, you know, he's always been a good talent. Well, you know, you got to think, Diamond Dallas Page didn't start wrestling until he was in his 40s. You know, AJ has no difference.
He's mid-40s now.
Yeah, exactly. Him and Kazarian are still, you know, phenomenal talents, and they're both older than AJ. I think used correctly and maybe toned down just a little bit so he's, you know, they get a little bit more longevity out of him. I think he'll be a good asset for him.
I think he'll be really, really good for him. And there's so much that the younger guys can learn from him. That's the main thing. When he comes in, if he works in NXT for an extended period of time, you watch the talent level and things of that nature just go through the roof from the things that they can learn. Joe's done the same thing since he's been there. So has Balor. And anybody that stepped in the ring with them have gotten better every time they stepped in the ring with them.
I mean, When's the last time you've seen a guy, Gene? Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I was just saying, I think a lot of people prefer NXT to the main product. And I'll get off here and let y'all talk.
Well, no, I mean, that's a good thing. You got to remember, though, those NXT guys, even though they are technically contracted with WWE, they're still trying to get that main roster spot. So they're going to go above and beyond. And, you know, they're a lot more hungrier than the guys. The guys that are on the main roster, they're there. They've made it. Boom. You know, but those NXT guys, it's still almost indie because they still want that main roster spot because it's more money, more exposure, you know, and, you know, more of a career. So just like the guys in the indies are still trying to bust their butt to get a contract, you know, anywhere, to get a actual contract where you get guaranteed money.
All right. Well, thanks for taking my call, and I'll get off here.
Oh, man, anytime, man.
Thank you for calling in. We appreciate that. Shout out to Tennessee. Got some good wrestling fans listening to Tennessee. That's amazing. How about that?
You got fans in all kinds of area codes.
Hey, guys, thank you for the social media of Facebook, Twitter, and the other places, man. I put it out there. Hopefully people are listening. So you hear little by little, people are starting to listen to the show.
Right.
Good stuff. Tennessee's always been a great wrestling area, you know?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. There's a lot of history there.
Yep. 423 area code. Hello. Same person called back.
Somebody.
Okay.
Right. I thought they were singing.
I'm sorry. I was holding because I mean I'm back here where I'm at in the studio. I can see when calls come in, so I put them into the call and. He called back. I thought maybe he might have another question. Let's continue on, okay? Big Country,
hey,
do you have any questions you'd like to say to James?
I know everything there is to know about James Drake, so, you know, they're really...
Yeah, I know you do.
That.
I know you do, but the listeners that are listening to the show don't, you know.
Well, let's ask different. James. James, is there anything that, you know, listeners might not know about you that that you might want to tell?
I don't know. There's a ton that people don't know about me, but that's probably stuff they don't want to know about me, so we'll leave that like in the closet if we can. So,
so what you're saying is you don't want it coming out of the closet?
It's going to be a day that starts with Y, not today or tomorrow, but yesterday. So you missed it.
Well, no, folks, anybody that doesn't really know James, you know, he's an awesome guy to be with in the locker room because, you know, if you see his name on a card, then you know that you're going to have a good time in the locker room. You know, he likes to cut up. He's kind of like a shorter, chubbier, you know, more bearded Chris Hamrick. You know, once you get past his gritty exterior, you know, he's an awesome friend. He's a great guy to be around. I call him a brother. I don't call many people that. You know, I know that's abuse.
Don't you
a lot of
ever insult me by comparing me to Chris Hamrick again.
You know you love him. But no, seriously, people throw that word brother around a lot, and I don't consider that because I consider brother being like family, not just a friend. I don't call friends brothers. And I call James a brother because that's exactly the way I feel about him. You know, he's always been there for me whenever I needed it, when I've, you know, even thought about even quitting, he's talked me out of it. And anytime I've doubted myself, he's, you know, he's sat down and talked to me. He's not one of these guys that, you know, he is one of the guys that go in there and beat the shit out of you, and then, but he'll make you feel better about it afterwards.
Well, I don't do it all the time. Only when you need it.
Only on every single match you've ever had.
Bullshit. Now I'm not that. Shit. Don't go lying to people.
So James, you got any backstage ribs or anything you can share with us?
Oh, my Lord. Some that I've seen. Like, I saw Boomer Payne super glue Shay Shay McGrady's boots underneath a chair and a table. I was a victim of the super glue to the shoe as well underneath the chair, and I was rushing to get to another show. And Boomer said, "Are you not going to find your shoe?" I said, "I got to get to another show. Maybe I'll get paid enough to buy another pair of shoes."
Whose bag did he duct tape?
Oh, God, I don't know. And you name it, probably half of the North Carolina indie scene. I said, I have no clue. I know that Dylan Dollar took Josh Cutshaw's bag and saran wrapped it to a pole in the locker room at the old HBW building in Hendersonville. And when I say he saran wrapped it, he used an entire roll, industrial sized roll of saran wrap.
Wow.
And Josh didn't have a knife or keys or anything to get into it.
That's a good rib.
Oh, yeah.
Well, see, I don't now. I don't mind ribs, you know, especially really good ribs with barbecue. No, I'm just kidding. Ribs that are funny but don't physically hurt somebody or destroy any of their property, I don't mind.
Right.
You know,
because right.
As everybody knows, gear's not cheap. Especially when you're a guy my size.
I saw somebody do it. I saw somebody pull a rib one time. They had bought a buddy of theirs a new pair of boots in the locker room. And the guy had been wearing wrestling shoes forever. And he had always talked about how he wanted boots. Well, his birthday had come up, and it was just a little spot show that I had done. I even forgot where I was. I think I was in Tennessee, as a matter of fact. But it was just a little spot show. And he was back here. He came back to the back. He went to put his wrestling shoes on, and all of the eyelets were cut.
Mm.
Every one of them. So he went to tighten his shoes up and turn his shoestrings came completely out of him, and he is raising hell. Who in the hell takes enough time to cut the damn eyelets out of my damn wrestling shoes? Knowing good and well I've got a match in about 45 minutes. I don't have any other shoes. I got to wear my tennis shoes out here to wrestle in now. Yada, 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 yada. He got mad, threw his shit down, went outside. When he came back in, his new boots were sitting on his damn, on his gear bag. But when he came back through the door, if somebody doesn't tell me who cut the eyelets out of my shoes, I swear to God, I'll take this pistol out of my back pocket and I'll shoot everybody in this goddamn locker room.
Damn.
Wow.
Then he saw the boots laying on his bag, and he started tearing up. And he took his pistol out of his bag and emptied all the bullets and put them in his pocket.
Wow. When ribs turned deadly.
Everybody. Yeah.
Damn.
He was coming to shoot everybody. Yeah.
Remind me never to
mess
with a man's wrestling boots. You get shot with that.
Well, no,
that's pretty bad.
That's a good rib, but still, you know, you could have gone you could have taken the shoelaces out. That's still a pair of wrestling shoes because everybody needs a backup. I mean, heck, I'm lucky to have.
There was no hope for these.
Okay, well, if they were destroyed,
But he was mad because it was the only thing he had.
Well, that's understandable. Luckily, he didn't just come in and start shooting everybody.
That would have been really, really bad. I'd have gotten really upset. I'd have been really mad if I'd have been carrying a bullet for somebody else's negligence.
Exactly. But, yeah, everybody always needs a backup pair. I've got a pair of wrestling shoes, a pair of boxing boots, and a pair of wrestling boots. So, you know, it's always good to have backups.
From you before it's over with. Now, there's another rib. It was, have you guys ever heard of a rib so bad that it's not even in person, it's over the telephone. A rib so bad that a guy has to pull over on the side of the road and puke because he's so upset.
Wow.
Okay, man. My microphone man posted a cartoon or sent a cartoon to Lyle Case, Super Law. Well, when he sent this cartoon, it was an old 70s porn cartoon. It was a parody cartoon. He looked something up on Google, and that was the first thing that popped up. So he just hit it to see what it was, and he sent it to Lyle because he thought Lyle would think it was funny. Well, Lyle sent him a message back saying, this is Warren, his fiance, and I really don't appreciate what you sent, Lyle. It offends me, and I believe you ought to have a little more respect over someone's phone than to send stupid sexual cartoons to it, especially when you know that stuff like that offends me. And they did not respond for 45 minutes. He sent them 15 messages over a span of about 15, 20 minutes, and the whole time Lyle's calling me, telling me what's going on, laughing his ass off. He says, whatever you do, get on the phone, text Microphone Man, and ask him, what do you think you're doing sending something like that to Miss Order, to Warren? When I sent him the message, no sooner than it said sent on my telephone, I had a telephone call from Microphone Man saying, man, you don't understand. This is what happened. Oh, my God, I'm so tore up. She's mad at me. She's upset at me. She thinks I'm disgusting, yada, yada, yada. I've disrespected her. I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. I got to go. I'm going to puke. He hangs up the telephone, pulls off the side of the road and pukes.
Wow.
This rib goes on for 2 hours.
Anybody that knows Lyle.
2 hours.
Anybody that knows Lyle knows that stuff don't offend him. And anybody Lyle, it wouldn't offend him.
Not offend him either. No, there ain't no way. But it goes on for 2 hours. Lyle has me. He has Wicked. He's got two or three others on board sending Microphone Man text messages, blessing him out for being disrespectful and rude and prude, being a prick. And he finally posted up on Facebook, said something about when a joke goes wrong and all you want to do is crawl in a hole and hide. Lyle sent me a message saying, I can't do it anymore. I can't do it anymore. I have to let him off the hook. I have absolutely got to let him off the hook. He's crying on the telephone with me. I got to let him off the hook. So he finally tells him, dude, it's a joke. We were just kidding with you. Microphone Man, I don't hear him cuss often, but he said, you've got to be fucking shitting me. Oh, my God. He said, you got to be fucking shitting me. Lyle said it was a joke. I said, Jason, welcome to wrestling, kid. It happens.
He said, I puked
3 times. I puked 3 times because I thought somebody was really mad at me. I said, well, you got to think about who you're messing with. If you really think that upset somebody in the Case household,
something.
And then there's the time that Will Snap broke a – no, it wasn't Will Snap. Yeah, it was. Will Snap broke a preacher's rib in Hendersonville.
Now, I heard something about the – is this the one story that he come up on the ring apron and he got pummeled?
No. This – the Team Ego used to be Abel Adams, Nick Fury, Phil Shatter, and Will Snap. And it also had Truett Fields. I apologize. It had Truett Fields as well. Well, they were were getting heat around the ring, and a preacher takes one of the PVC pipes that we used for a barricade at SWA at one time, reaches across and hits Abel Adams in the head with it. A preacher, a man of God, somebody just supposed to be teaching you patience and everything else. They got so much heat, he reaches across and hits Abel in the head with it. But when he hit Abel in the head with it, Will turns around, spots him, and just punts this son of a gun in the ribs and beats his ass from the front row of the crowd all the way to the wall at the Hendersonville Armory.
Wow.
Yeah, he beat him to death. And then after the show, the preacher comes into the back talking to Wicked and says, I can't believe you allowed him to put his hands on me. I can't believe you did that. I need compensation of some sort. He said, did you put your hands on him first? He said, well, yeah. He said, well, you reached across the rope. You can't reach across the rope. He said, you're lucky he didn't kill you. And the guy said, well, yeah, I guess I did kind of start it. So after about 15, 20 minutes, the guy said, I apologize. Can I go ahead and buy advance tickets for the next show next month?
Wow.
So you got broke ribs. He got broke ribs and worked into buying advance tickets.
That's the best wrestling story I think I've heard in a long time. That was a good one.
It was good stuff. It was good stuff. It was funny to witness. And all of that stuff happened while I was still young in the business. So I didn't even really get to appreciate it as much as I would now. I would still be horse laughing at that guy.
So if you was to give any advice to anyone, upcoming wrestlers that wanted to get into business, what would you give them, if anything?
Don't.
Don't?
Find a reputable school. Find somebody that knows what they're doing, that's trained people, that's made money. Don't go somewhere just because they've got a ring, just because they've got a building that they run in every week. Find somebody that's made money in the business, or find somebody that's got some – even if it's just a name locally, find them, ask them what they need to do. Find somebody that's going to teach you the respect that you need in the locker room so you don't get your ass whipped like I did with Bad Medicine when I fuck up in the ring and don't listen to what the veterans call. Don't just go to any Tom, Dick, and Harry, pay $25, train for 3 months, and then get thrown in a match because they're short of body. And if you bitch and moan about calisthenics before training because it blows you up and you don't feel like that you can train to your fullest, if you bitch and moan about that, you can go ahead and get the hell out of my business now. I mean, shit. If you're going to bitch about having to work out, fuck you. Get your ass in there and do it. I mean, I might look like I'm 275, 280 pounds of shit in a five-pound bag, but I promise that there's nothing that they're going to do in the ring that I either haven't done or can't do, you know?
Right. Definitely. So what do you think needs to change in professional wrestling?
Right now, there's nothing that you can change that's going to really improve it. I mean, locally on the indie scene, I feel like the shit talent needs to be flushed. It's got to get gone. If you have shows where they book nothing but shit talent just to have bodies. Now, I understand on weekly shows that sometimes you have to have fillers. You have to have bodies in order to have a show. But creative booking and having strong veterans to carry them through matches can still make that serviceable, you know? Until everybody's product is competitive, then, I mean, the perception of professional wrestling around here locally is, at least in my area, is always going to be laughed at, you know?
So what do you think? What do you think is the best way to promote professional wrestling?
I'm old school when it comes to promotions. I'm extremely old school when it comes to promotions. You beat the roads to death: posters, newspaper, radio. I mean, anything. Of course, social media is becoming the new radio. What people used to put on the radio, now they try to put on social media. But if social media is the only place that you're going to promote, you got to realize that out of your 1,000 or 2,000 friends, not all 1,000 or 2,000 of them live in your local area. So, I mean, I feel like you got to get amongst the people, get amongst your demographic. PWX handed out 400 flyers in the span of a week, handed out, like made contact with 400 people face-to-face. So, plus they had television, they had radio, they had all of that. SWA does a great job of it, too. They're always out amongst the community handing out flyers, posting flyers up all over town, holding events at sponsors, just all that good stuff. But they've got a street team that's doing really good things around the Four City area.
Well, not just that, it's word of mouth too. You know, you can bring the people to the show, but if your show is shit, you know, and all the promotion in the world ain't gonna help it once they get there and they see that it's shit, then it's word of mouth from there. If you put on a good show, hey man, we were at the Armory last week, man. The show was phenomenal. Next time they're up there, we gotta go. If your show shit, it's like, oh man. And see, that's where it ruins it for, like, you know, other people that run the same Armory is, can have the most awesome show ever, but if people don't know that every single show that runs there isn't your show, and they go the second time, it's like, wow, man, this sucks, man. I'm not going to tell anybody to come see this.
I'm glad you touched on that. I really am, because I'm probably about to piss a few people off, and I really don't give two flying shit. Anybody that knows me knows I don't give a damn. So,
amen. Do it, brother.
Everybody that bitches and moans about, you're not going to tell me who I can and can't work for. If I work for one company, I can't work for another. I completely understand that now. I understand that if you work, let's say, HBW used to be bad about it. If you work for me, I don't want you going and working for RWA or TCW because they had heat. That's a 45-minute drive to that building. That's a completely different demographic, completely different town. Now, if you're running in the same building as me, if you're going to work another show in the very same building that I helped fucking build, pour my blood, sweat, and tears into, and you decide, hey, I need an extra payday, so I'm going to go here and I'm going to work the very next week after the show that you worked for me, please don't come back. Please don't. It don't make any sense. Why is my crowd going to pay to come see you on January 16th when you're going to work for a rival promotion 7 days later when they can come see you then, probably at a cheaper price? I mean, and it's no disrespect to anybody. It could be some of the greatest talent in the world. I mean, even if John Cena had come in and John Cena was going to work for me on the 16th and he turned around and he worked for a rival promotion the very next week, I'd tell him, I appreciate you coming in and doing the show that you did for me, but I can't use you again, especially if you're going to be a regular on that show.
Well, not just that, but if you could sit there and, like, you worked one show and you're getting the good push, he's putting you over everybody, putting you over strong, you know, making you the, you know, reliable, you know, worker. And then you go to the next show the next, you know, week, and you're putting over trash or, you know, they're putting you in gimmicks and make you look stupid. And those same people are seeing you. It's like, why would we go to this show now and cheer for him where he's getting his push at when he's coming over here and just letting him, you know, look like shit?
Right. And, I mean, that happens all over the place. But people are going to do that, especially the rival promotions, because wrestling's a backstabbing-ass business.
Yep.
Now, there's been a recent think about SWA's heavyweight champion putting up a video of him wrestling in Newton for Legacy Pro Wrestling. J.R. Reynolds is our champion. I'll go ahead and put it out there. I don't care. And a big stink was made by Josh Steinborn about how can you call yourself such a great champion when you post a matchup of you losing to somebody much smaller and things like that. I was like, okay. My one response, and I mean, I'll shorten it, but this is all that needs to be said. So, when Rey Mysterio beat Kevin Nash, Kevin Nash lost all credibility?
No.
Okay.
For those nowadays fans, Alberto Del Rio puts over Kalisto for the United States Championship. Does that make Alberto Del Rio any less of a wrestler?
Absolutely not. Absolutely
Kalisto's
not.
Much smaller than him, though.
I don't care.
That's what I'm
It's like this, okay? Say, you'll get this. It's a football reference about your shitty-ass New England Patriots.
Who's in the playoffs? Kiss my ass.
Go deflate a set of balls. But, say the New England Patriots won the Super Bowl. Well, the very next year, sorry, I'm yelling at my youngin' because he thinks that he's the Little Caesars guy in a suit dancing around for trying to get people coming to buy pizzas. But
sweet.
Say they win the Super Bowl. Well, they come out and decide to play an exhibition game in England against an English football team, and it gets aired on national television.
And they get beat.
And the team in England beats them. They don't go out and beat the piss out of them. They beat them by a field goal, a lucky field goal. Or they beat them by an interception that's ran back for a touchdown. Does that mean that the New England Patriots are no longer the best team in the NFL?
No.
No, it doesn't mean that. What it means is somebody got lucky.
Well, that's why it's called Any Given Sunday, you know?
And another great example is Ronda Rousey still not the best female fighter in the world because Holly Holm caught her with a high kick? I still think Ronda Rousey is the most complete fighter in the UFC.
Yeah, she got caught. Time for games. Right.
I think she underestimated Holmes and she got caught.
Yeah. So it just I don't understand people's logic. I really don't. I think he just wants to talk to bitch about it. He had his period or PMS or something.
No, not just
cramping. I don't know.
I mean, whatever beef between Steinborn and Reynolds is one thing, but the guy who he posted a match against, Tracer X. Any of us that has worked with Tracer X knows.
Wait a minute. He was bitching about J.R. Reynolds, our heavyweight champion, to another champion that's in our company. So he's saying that the top of one division can't be as good as the top of another?
Well, the fact of the matter is, you know, like I said, if it was just some Joe Schmo nobody that, you know, was maybe mediocre talent, Tracer X is freaking, you know, he's a former tag team champion, former Carolina champion. I mean, the kid's, you know, talented as hell. I have no problem losing to the kid. I mean, I wouldn't think twice about it.
First off, I managed Timber at CWA, and for a year straight as a heel, he lost. But we lost with style. He lost with style. And he still remains strong as a strong heel. If it was done correctly, it wouldn't make a difference if he lost. How you lose? I mean, did he lose strong or did he go out and get beat up? Yeah. So come on, this is pro wrestling.
Yeah,
I mean,
now knowing who was in the match, I have no doubt that it made sense. Plus, he's got the image. He's 220 pounds. Well, I don't know if people know this about Tracer X. Tracer is legit 190, 195 of solid brick shit house human being.
Right.
So, hello? Oh,
yes, we're still
great. Right. But, yeah, there's not but a 20 or 30 pound difference. And anybody that's ever grappled or done any kind of shoot grappling at all knows 20 or 30 pounds don't make that much of a difference.
Yeah.
Oh.
So,
really,
now it makes even less sense, and now I'm glad that I went on there and raised a little bit of hell at it.
Well, exactly. That's what pissed me off. Is, you know, you look in wrestling nowadays, you know, especially if your champion is a heel, most of the time the matches they have that aren't actual title matches, 99% of the time those heels lose. You know, when it comes time for the title match, they either win or they lose by disqualification. So it's like, you know, You know, usually somebody has a different agenda when what they're saying makes no freaking sense at all. You know,
Right. Whatever
history is between those two, between Steinborn and Reynolds, whatever. But don't sit there and try to discredit the kid because, you know, and this is Indies. It's not WWE. You work for one company.
Yep.
Right. You know, here you're not going to be able to get your name out there and nobody's going to get to see you. Win, lose, or draw, as long as your match is good, you could still go under and go over. So it's like,
let the people
do that. Let them, you know, promote themselves. Let them get their stuff out there. Keep your 2 cents to your freaking self. And if you want to put your 2 cents, at least make it make sense, you know?
But at the end of the night, I bet he got paid.
Exactly, and I bet you the crowd enjoyed the hell out of it, too.
Oh,
right.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's what we're in the business of, is entertainment. So it's like, you know, if the crowd ain't entertained, then who gives a shit?
Right.
I agree 100%. So another question. Dream match, dead or alive, if you could wrestle any wrestler dead or alive as a dream match, James Drake, who would it be? And it could be more than one.
Arn
Anderson.
Buddha. The Great Buddha.
Great Buddha, and why?
Because. Just because. The Great Muda is probably my favorite wrestler of all time, him and Arn. But Muda was the first foreign character I really grabbed a hold of. And I mean, his mist, the stuff that he done in the ring, especially when he started getting bigger, he done things that a bigger man wasn't supposed to do. He's the inspiration for me starting to hit the moonsault. And at 270 pounds, I'll say it, I ain't scared. I've got a pretty good one. But I modeled it after Kaiji Moto. Muda is just, to me, he was the complete package.
So if you would say who's the greatest wrestler of all time, would it be Muda or somebody else?
The greatest wrestler of all time?
Yeah.
That's tough. That's extremely tough.
Well, that's a good question if you
know.
Have to think about it.
I mean, it's an extremely good question. I wouldn't say Muda was the best wrestler of all time, but he was probably one of the best entertainers in Japan ever, period. And I feel like he was appreciated here, but he wasn't as appreciated as he was there because they were able to build the stories they wanted to with him in Japan. Basically, Kaiji Moto and the Great Muda being two different people, Kaiji Moto was the face, the good guy, and then the Great Muda wound up being like a real-life horror story. That was good stuff. But as far as the greatest wrestler of all time, it's tough. I mean, it really is because there's been so many really, really, really good grapplers.
All right. But, so if you can't name one, name a couple. Who do you think?
Oh, name a couple? Okay. Well,
yeah.
Arn, of course.
Okay.
Flair, just because of. I mean, you can't have a list like that and not have Flair in it because of what he's contributed to the business. He was a master showman in the ring, period. Dusty, of course. Tully was almost Ric Flair quality when it came to being a showman. I was always a big fan of the WCW Cruiserweight division. I loved Rey Mysterio as a Cruiserweight, Eddie, Dean Malenko, Benoit. But Christopher Daniels, to me, like, other than what you see on television, Christopher Daniels to me is the most complete talent that you're going to find. Him and Jonathan Gresham.
Okay, I can see that. If you could hit a reset button and go back in time to any era in professional wrestling, where would you go back to and why?
The Crockett days.
Okay, and why?
Why would I go back to the Crockett days? Because my body type was fit then.
I could see that.
I mean, I wouldn't have to worry about anybody bitching about my look or anything like that. I'd look like a wrestler would look then. Buddy Rose and everybody like that. I mean, hell, they were all overweight making money. Let's do it.
I agree. Okay, I got another Buddy Country. Any questions? You got anything for him?
I'm just sitting back and enjoying the answers, man.
Okay. If you got more time, here's another segment of the show I like to do. I started it up last week. It's called the Name Game. I'll say a name of a wrestler or something. Tell me the first thing comes to your mind, and it does not be a one-word answer either.
Okay.
SWA.
SWA, my home. To me, it's always going to be a staple of wrestling in Western North Carolina, period.
Yeah. Palmetto Championship Wrestling.
One more time?
Palmetto Championship Wrestling.
Palmetto Championship Wrestling. Don't know much about it, but we're going to find out on February the 19th when I go to Columbia.
Okay. Now, Palmetto Championship Wrestling, the resurgence.
That's a company that used to be around back in the day, was owned by a guy that ran a construction company. If it's the same Palmetto, I don't know. But it used to, they used to have something. Lodi used to be the booker of Palmetto. So,
okay.
That company used to be,
I know that I'm wrestling the Warhawk, Dylan Cage, on the 19th.
Nice. That'll be a great match.
I've wrestled him one other time in Myrtle Beach for C4W, and it was amazing.
NAWA Big Donnie.
Oh. Big Donnie. I love Big Donnie. Y'all are not going to get
tell me about that.
You want out of me, I promise. Big Donnie is one of the most intelligent people you'll ever run across. If you sit down and have a conversation with him, he will blow your mind as to how smart he is. And he knows how to work his 525-pound self. He knows how to use his size. And anybody that underestimates Big Donnie just because he does a lot of hardcore and stuff like that, step in the ring and take his arm drag one time. Now, if you would have said Little Donnie, I'd have said one of the biggest morons on the face of the planet, but damn it, I love him.
Why is that? Tell me about that. Give you one for instance.
He's an idiot. He's a full-blown idiot. And, I mean, this is nothing I wouldn't say to him face-to-face. He says some of the stupidest shit. And Little Donnie will be sitting across the locker room, and somebody will say something, and he'll agree with them, laugh really loud, and repeat what they said. And then you'll hear Big Donnie from the corner, Jamie Mayfield, shut the fuck up. It's just hilarious. All of the Burke County boys are funny as hell.
Ethan Case.
Words can't express how proud I am of Ethan Case. I wrestled him his very first match to even see if he was going to make it into the business. It was an empty match, or an empty armory match at SWA at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Wrestled him for about 15 minutes. We called 2 spots, went in, and just had a really good time, really good match. Kid sold, bumped his ass off, sat up, tore down, paid his dues, didn't bitch or moan about anything, and I was roughing him up a little bit too. But Wicked asked me, he said, what do you think? I said, give the kid a shot. And at the time, he was going by Brian Sabin. And, I mean, he rubbed some people the wrong way, but he always carried himself as, I know that I'm good, whether you know it or not, it doesn't matter, but I know that I am. And that's translated into him knowing his worth. So now he's being touted as one of the best around. And, I mean, I'm always going to have a soft spot in my heart for Ethan Case because I know where the kid started. I know what he's went through. And, I mean, I'm super proud of him and proud of the wrestler, the worker he's become.
Fabulous, fabulous. Eric Adams.
That's big. I love him. You can't help but love him. He's
really?
Always been good to me. He's always been good to me. Always. I mean, I'm really good friends with him, to be honest. He does some shady shit, but he's a carny. He was trained by Johnny Rods. Johnny Rods taught him how to be a carny a long time ago, I promise. But I don't agree with all of his psychology that he uses in matches and things of that nature. He got caught up in a bad thing with the whole CCW gimmick. He was pushing what he thought was right. I had a little more knowledge as to what was going on than a lot of people did, and all he was doing was he was pushing what he was told. And he was legitimately being paid. I saw receipts. I mean, I've seen the transactions coming from Ron Kennedy to Eric. And, I mean, can any of us say if we was being paid and we were chasing a dream that we wouldn't try to push it too? Little did any of us know that he was – I was doing a little research behind the scenes. I knew that he was full of shit, but I had no money in it, so I was going to ride it for all it was worth. Everybody was talking about they had to send in $60 for an entrance video and all that stuff. I didn't send him shit. I put him straight up. Listen, this is what's going to happen. You're going to produce my shit. You're going to make sure that I get to these shows, and if I don't get paid, you're not going to like me. Then all the shit went down in Myrtle Beach, and instead of hiding from it, Eric Adams is sending me screenshots on his GPS as to where they are.
And at one point, they were four minutes away from the building, and Ron said, I can't do it. Well, Eric calls me on speakerphone, and I overhear him telling Ron, you're either going to pull into this parking lot and clear my fucking name, or I'm going to beat your fucking ass.
Stand up. Got to respect that.
So, I mean, he's always been right by me. Anytime he's booked me, I've been paid. I've always been had good matches for any of his Dream Pro Wrestling shows. So I've got nothing bad to say about him besides the fact that he says Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker WrestleMania was terrible.
Okay. All right. That's good. David Reimer.
That's my brother, period. It's my trainer. It's my brother. We've had our differences. There was a story, and I mean, we really don't like to go into detail about it, but piss on it. I took about 3 years off, and what had happened, this was right after, me and Wicked were having some, differences, and what it came down to women differences. He thought one thing, and that really wasn't what was happening, and I messaged him and said, hey, I'd like to know who I was working this week. And he took it the wrong way. He thought I was trying to get information for someone. I wasn't. But what it boiled down to was me and him had a falling out, and I quit. I said, piss on it, I quit. I'm done. I don't have to put up with this shit. I'll go play softball. So for 3 years, I didn't touch a wrestling ring. I didn't touch wrestling boots, nothing. I even sold all my stuff. And when I came back, I started sending him messages, and I started talking to him, and we finally got everything squashed, everything. And he said, you know what, I want you back. A couple of the guys want you back. Won't you come up and work Shashay McGrady? And, I mean, if your work's still good and all of the guys in the back still get along with you, we'll see what we can do about getting you back in there. And when I came up there and worked after the match, he pulled me outside and he just gave me the biggest hug in the world and said, God, I've missed you. And I mean, if there's anything in the world he ever needs, I'll be there. That's just all there is to it.
Nice. Big Country.
Fuck.
Yes, sir.
No, I'm asking what he thinks of you. I'm not asking you.
Oh, like I give two shits.
But I'm not asking if you give two shits. I'm asking what he thinks of you.
Big Country is, he's straightforward to the straight to the point. He don't candy coat anything. He's very talented for a man his size. Hell, he's very talented for a man, period. I ain't even going to say his size. If he trusts you in the ring, he'll do anything in the world you ask him to do. If you ask him to climb to the top, try to do a swanton, he'll try. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If he thinks that you think it'll help get the match over, he'll try it. I feel like he'd give you the shirt off his back if you needed it to build a tent.
Or cover your car.
Either one. But I love the guy. I love you, Robert. It's just you've never shit on me. And that goes a long way.
Well, I mean, yeah. That's not my type of thing, but I mean, if 20 bucks is 20 bucks.
Hey. Screw you. That's a Facebook
thing. Yeah, I saw that. I actually like that, too.
Rob Killjoy.
Oh, Lord Jesus Christ. Probably one of the closest friends I've got in wrestling. He lives about 2 minutes from me. So we spend a lot of time together watching matches, traveling the road. Probably one of the most underrated workers around. I don't like the fact that he works every single solitary shit show that he can get on. And I've told him that. I actually had a conversation with him asking him how much money he made in the month. And he told me. I asked him, how many shows did you work? He said, 7. I said, you worked 7 shows? He said, yeah. I said, I worked 3 and made more money than you did. Come on, something's wrong here, kid. You're either undervaluing yourself or you're working too many shit shows and you're getting shit on. He said, man, I just like to wrestle. I was like, well, if you give yourself to people in smaller doses just on bigger shows, better bookings, I promise it'll work out for you in the end. But, I mean, that guy can go in the ring with a broomstick and have a good match, period. He's one of the hardest working men I know.
WWE.
That's everybody's goal. Whether people say that they want to make it to Mexico or make it to Japan or just work in other countries, they're full of shit. You started watching wrestling because you saw WWE on television, and your first thought was, God, I would love to work in front of that many people for that company. That's the measuring stick. That's what everybody wants to get to. Regardless of how bad the programming may be at times, regardless how bad you think creative is, you cannot discredit the fact that that's what got you started.
Sounds good. TNA.
When it first started, I felt like TNA was extremely good. I felt like that it was a breath of fresh air. It brought a new style to America. It brought a new style to television. And I feel like that it still has a chance to be something really good, but the booking's going to have to get better, and they're going to have to book new faces. Just bringing in WCW and WWE recyclables is not going to get it done anymore.
That's good. Ring of Honor.
The best indie in America. The best super indie in America. There's no bigger melting pot of talent anywhere. And it's got a cult following. It's just, if you want to see some of the best talent you can find, go to a Ring of Honor show. And I suggest going to a live event. Don't go to a TV taping.
Sounds good. CWA.
You guys draw. I mean, you always draw. Always have a crowd. I enjoyed my match up there. I enjoyed working with Scarecrow my first time up there. I haven't been back since. I don't know whether I did something to upset somebody or someone doesn't like my look. But it's a very good company. It's a very good place to work, and he's not afraid to pay you if you're worth it. So, I mean, he appreciates his talent, and I mean, they're a promotions machine. Almost, if you wanted to create a video or create a book on how to promote a professional wrestling show, CWA and PWX would be the two companies that I would recommend.
I was going to say next PWX, but you just kind of spoke that already.
PWX, it's a whole different animal. It's Ring of Honor.
All right, tell me about it.
Basically, okay. It's Ring of Honor light. That's just all there is to it. It's the storylines are so strong there right now that they run three towns. They run Winston-Salem, they run Charlotte, they run Hickory, and the storylines carry from town to town, and they have fans that travel from town to town. That's all I need to say about them.
Doing it right. They're doing it right, definitely.
They that's the truth.
Yep. Can't think of anybody else that I want to ask you about, that's for sure. Big Country, you have anything else for me?
Just looking forward to working with you Saturday. Try not to kill me.
No, you try not to kill me.
You try not to kill me with all your bright-ass ideas.
That's all right. Don't worry. I won't have any bright-ass ideas. You put the match together.
So if you wanted to tell somebody what would you say to them if they didn't know you?
James Drake is the most athletic, unathletic-looking guy you'll ever see in professional wrestling. Probably the best big man you've never heard of. When you go to a show and he's on the card, don't just take a look at him and write him off. because like Country said earlier, you give me a minute or two in the ring and I promise I'll have your attention. Not only will I have your attention, I'll have made a fan for life. You can't question my work ethic. I never take a night off when it comes to shows. So if you pay your money to sit in the crowd to watch me wrestle, I promise I'm going to give you your money's worth.
Sounds great. Sounds great to me. Well, if there's any promoters,
it's like I'm always saying, James Vick is the epitome of don't judge a book by its cover.
I agree 100%. I think if the territory days were still around, James, you would be a huge wrestling star.
I would hope so.
I don't think there's enough places for good wrestlers to wrestle these days. It really isn't, in my opinion.
Well, it's starting to come around. There's going to be some places that make some waves in the next couple of years.
I agree. Wrestling is definitely on the rise when it comes to the Carolinas and the Mid-Atlantic area as a whole, so definitely. I appreciate you coming on, James.
Yes,
it's been a pleasure, and we hope to be able to bring you back on for another episode. I want to do a wrestling roundtable coming up probably the end of next month, and I would like to have you back on.
Definitely. I'd be more than happy to come on. No problem at all. Listening, if you're in the area, January 16th, this Saturday, Spindale, North Carolina, Forest City, North Carolina, whichever one you want to call it, 890 Withrow Road in Forest City at the Armory, please come check out SWA. Come let us prove to you why we're the measuring stick in Western North Carolina.
Sounds phenomenal. If any promoters are out there and they want to contact you, what's the easiest way to contact you?
Hit me up on Facebook. My email is thebigjb16@gmail.com. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter as well. On Twitter, it's @thebigjb16. And, just hit me up anywhere. Or if you run across somebody that knows me, I'm sure they'll give you either my telephone number or my Facebook, one of the two.
Sounds great. And one last thing, James, before you leave, can you give us a little promo drop, something we could edit later on with your voice on it?
Sure. Bugs Country Radio, right?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
This is the New Age Enforcer, James Drake, and you're listening to Nugs Country Wrestling Radio. All wrestling, no bullshit.
Sounds great. And I appreciate you coming on, James. It was a pleasure and an honor to have you on. Learned a lot of things about you that I didn't know. You told us some great stories, and I really appreciate you being so honest with us. And it goes a long way.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Yep. We'll be back next week Ring of Honor. Please. Wish you could reach that. He was a lot farther than that. We have WWE Hall of Famer, the Hacksaw Jim Duggan, coming on next week's show Tuesday night, 8:00. You people out there, you got it, brother. Jim, I'm sure he's going to give us some great stories. I'm really looking forward to talking to him. And I'm going to say that's somebody I look forward to really talking to. He was I've always been a big Jim Duggan mark when I was growing up. So that's, I'm really looking forward to that. I'll probably be marking out when I'm talking to him, which I think is pretty cool. Anyhow, appreciate you coming on again. And we'll see you again next time here at Nugs Country Wrestling Podcast. On behalf of Big Country, Joey Nugs, and James Drake, we'll see you next time.
Take care.
Take care.